Good morning. This first reading is found on page 1186 in the Church Bible. It's 1 Thessalonians, the whole first chapter. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is from Matthew and chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. And it can be found on page 990 of the Church Bibles. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to what they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the.
And to sing songs of devotion and yearning that we should be deeper into the presence of God's love, and that we may build our lives as a firm foundation on that love. Father, may your word teach us what the singing of our songs means, that we may be informed in mind and in spirit of your call on our lives, your purpose and will for us, and how much we owe to you, and how much we need to give ourselves to you. For For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. And I pray those things because next week I am going to see my tax advisor to keep me straight with the tax man and to declare my wealth and pay my share at the time when they tell us that we are paying more tax now than at any time since the Second World War. It's my version of the Christmas story, going to see the tax advisor. You'll know that Jesus was born at the time of the census of the Emperor Augustus. And you may know also that the reason for calling that census was to tax the people. And so Jesus, with his mum and dad, went down from Nazareth to Bethlehem for that purpose, to register so that they could be appropriately taxed by the governing Romans. And at that time in Galilee, there was a man called Judas of Galilee, and he led a revolt against this census and against the proposed taxes that were coming. And it was brutally put down by the Romans. On one day, 2,000 Galileans were crucified on the hills of Galilee. So the message put out there was clear. If you don't pay your taxes, you are going to die. And paying taxes to Rome was therefore a real cause of resentment for the Jewish people. So they come to him in verse 17 and they say to him, "What's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, of course, Jesus, we know, grew up in Galilee. He would have known about this chap Judas of Galilee who led the revolt, because that would have been at least a local hero, if not a national memory. And Jesus knew the dangers of the question that he was being asked. If he says, yes, you should pay taxes to Caesar, then he was to be declared not a true Jew and a collaborator with the enemy and would be subject without their protection to the terrors and violence of the mob. If, on the other hand, he said no to paying taxes to Caesar, well, then he can be declared a revolutionary and subject to death by Roman law. So what do you think, Jesus? Give us a rule to keep. Is it to give taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus does not give them a rule to keep. He gives them a principle to live by there in verse 21. There we are. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God. Well, that's an answer, isn't it? But it's no answer. It's a kind of puzzle to be worked out. I've got stuck. Some very clever slides coming up. There we are. Has it moved? Yes. Okay. I need to go back a bit. It's because I can't see it on the background. There we are. Right. There we are. Where am I? I might abandon this in a minute because it's getting all too complicated. There's a principle to be applied in life. This is the principle, and we need to work it out as we go along, all right? So first way to apply the principle is to see that Jesus refuses to arbitrate between the two groups who are asking him the question. He's not going to say which one is right and which one is wrong. The Pharisees send their disciples along with the Herodians. So, to ask the question, It's a bit of an unlikely alliance, these two. This is a Pharisee, as you can see. You'll have heard of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time. Well, more a sort of holiness movement, actually. Very pious people, good people in many ways. But they wanted to keep themselves separate from the rest of the world. And they had a political motive. They thought that if they could order society in a certain way, according to the Jewish law or the law of Moses, if they could teach the people to keep that law in the minutest of detail, then God would bring his kingdom to them. He would deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. They wanted them out. Their way to power was the religious control of the people, and by political overthrow as a result of it, even if they wanted non-violent overthrow. They believed that the Jews should not be paying taxes to Rome, contrary to their faith. On the other hand, the Herodians, here's a Herodian, they're the group who were close, they were the Jewish ruling class. Herod the Great, we've heard of him, he at the time of Jesus' birth, he was the first. Now he's dead, of course, but there are two other Herods, one in the north and one in the south. In the north there's Herod Agrippa, in the north there's Herod Antipas, and in the south there is Herod Agrippa. So their whole kind of family and entourage are called the Herodians. And they ruled over the land as, get this, kings of the Jews. And they administered the land on behalf of the Romans. They were kind of the puppet kings. And their way to power was by collaboration with the Romans. So they believed wholeheartedly that the Jews should be paying taxes to their Romans. So both of these groups, you see, had it in for Jesus. And the reason is right there at the beginning in verse 16, where Jesus says to them, or where they come to Jesus and say, "Teacher, we know you're a man of integrity, that you teach the ways of God and in accordance with the truth, and you aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." How galling is that? If you are a religious, pious leader, or you are a king of the Jews, and this person pays you no mind. Jesus wasn't bothered who they were. No deference to their social position. No support for their political position. He was a danger to them. Better to get rid of him. So who's right, Jesus? Us or them? The Pharisees or the Herodians? Whose side are you on? But Jesus doesn't arbitrate between these two groups of people. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God's. Give to God what is God's. There's something for both of you to think about. If you can make sense of it, that's the principle to live by. And the reason Jesus doesn't arbitrate between them comes in verse 18. Jesus, knowing their evil intent. They're both on the path of evil. They're both thinking about their own place of power in the world. It's worldly thinking that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It's evil thinking. It's of evil intent. And this is the challenge for us here today, that we are people who must distinguish between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of this world is opposed to the kingdom of God. Kingdoms of this world which are self-seeking, self-serving, predatory and consuming. Capitalist kingdoms which subjugate the individual to the dominant control of, to the exploiting the poor for the benefit of the rich. Communist kingdoms which subjugate the individual to the dominant control of the state. Nationalist kingdoms which discriminate on grounds of race and nationality. Let's not think that God is a conservative voter in the forthcoming elections, or a liberal voter, or a Labour voter. Don't think God is a member of the traditional Orthodox group in the church. And don't think he's part of the liberal inclusive groups in the church. We need to be careful not to think that God sees it my way, but that we should see it his way. The kingdoms of this world are evil and opposed to the kingdom of God. Choosing the lesser of two evils is still choosing evil. The challenge for all God's people is to know and choose for the kingdom of God. So Jesus has nothing to do with them. He refuses to arbitrate between them. And secondly, Jesus refuses to abdicate responsibility to the world. And he refuses to abdicate responsibility for God either. You see, the Pharisees pay no mind to the world, and the Herodians pay no mind to God. But the Pharisees, Jesus would say, you give to Caesar what's Caesar's. And to the Herodians, he would say, you give to God what's God's. Now, having said that God is not a conservative voter or a Labour voter, it doesn't mean that the Conservative Party or the Labour Party are evil in themselves. That's not what I said, people. What makes alliances evil is the use of them to benefit ourselves at someone else's cost. Worldliness is not something that's external to us, not something outside our doors waiting to seduce us. It's within us. It's an attitude waiting to corrupt our hearts. It corrupts our hearts in the home, in the workplace, in the way we take our place socially, in the community. So we do have a responsibility to take our place in society around us. Giving to God what is God's brings with it a responsibility to human government. Allegiance to God means that we have full allegiance to acting responsibly towards society, because we're part of it. Failing in the responsibility of one is failing in our responsibility to the other. You can't give to God what is God's without giving to Caesar what is Caesar's. Verse 19 makes the point. Jesus says, show me the coin. And they brought him the denarius. There it is, you see. The Pharisees were happy to possess and use the hated coin, but they didn't want to pay their social contribution with it. That's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. And in verse 20, he holds it to them and says, whose image is this and whose inscription? And the answer in verse 21 is that it's Caesar's. Caesar's image and the inscription around the edge says, Son of God, High Priest. That's who Caesar thought he was. How hypocritical then are the Herodians to call themselves kings of the Jews, but be happy to pay allegiance to the man who called himself the Son of God. So Jesus calls them both hypocrites. He refuses that hypocrisy. The principle means that we can't abdicate our responsibility to the world that we're in, and we can't abdicate our responsibility to God. It's a genius statement. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God. Yes to giving Caesar taxes, but no to giving Caesar worship. The third thing that Jesus does, maybe most importantly, it's the way he applies the principle in refusing to appropriate wealth to himself. Verse 19, it's not Jesus who has the coin. He's not the one with the money. He gets the coin from the ones who are arguing over the money and whether they should pay it away. Jesus says, give to, in verse 2. It really means give back to. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give back to God what is God's. The coin bears Caesar's image, so give it back to him. It belongs to him. It doesn't really belong to you, and it never has. Don't appropriate for yourself what is not yours in the first place. You depend on Caesar for his economics. He doesn't depend on you. It's not your image on that coin. But you bear God's image. You are made in the image of God. So give yourself back to God. That's the point. He formed you in his image to bear his likeness. You don't own yourself. God owns you. He doesn't depend on you. You depend on him. And in that respect, all the riches you have come from him. All the riches you have are for his service and glory. So refuse to appropriate wealth to yourself, because God isn't interested in a proportion of your wealth, not a proportion you might pay for tax or tithe. He's interested in all your wealth, how you use it for his glory, to serve his kingdom wherever we are in the world. Giving yourself back to God because you bear his image means that giving tax back to Caesar because the coin bears his image. It becomes something of worship when we pay our taxes with a heart of gratitude to God. Worship in the fullest and most real sense. Worship that glorifies God on a Monday, not just on a Sunday in the church. And it's costly. It takes us beyond ourselves. Because when Jesus calls us to give taxes, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, he's calling us to live sacrificially. To be living sacrifices, pleasing unto God. Because that's what Jesus did. What he said in these words wasn't even trying to wriggle out of a difficult situation. He was walking straight towards the danger, because Jesus was going to be crucified. He was going to bear the same fate as those tax rebels at the time of his birth, crucified on the hills of Galilee. His words take us back to the place where everything is given to God. Nothing is held back, and everything is to the glory of the Father. Now, this might be more than we asked for. The principle of giving to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God's what is God's. To live by that truth means that we refuse to arbitrate between evils. We refuse to abdicate responsibilities to God or our place in his world, and we refuse to appropriate wealth to ourselves. All this comes from the thought that I am going to see my tax advisor next week. May that visit be something of my worship through the week. Amen.